Welcome to our service for the Sunday next before Lent, which in time past was called Quinquagesima, but today is also the 14th of February, St. Valentine's Day. And so it's St. Valentine, the Christian martyr, whom we commemorate today. To my Father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God.
Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbours, in thought, word, and deed. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Collect for the Sunday before Lent. Almighty Father, whose Son was revealed in majesty before he suffered death upon the cross, give us grace to perceive his glory, that we may be strengthened to suffer with him and be changed into his likeness, from glory to glory, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
Darlleniad o ail lyfr Brenhinoedd, Pennod 2. Cymru Deleuas i'r Nefoedd. Pan oedd yr arglwydd ar fedr cymryd Eleias i'r nefoedd mewn corwynt, a Eleias ag Eliseis allan o Gilgal. A dywedodd Eleias wrth Eliseis, aros di yma, oherwydd mae'r arglwydd yn fy anfon i Bethel. Dywedodd Eliseis cenwired y bod yr arglwydd yn fyw a thithau nith y dawaf. Felly eithant i Bethel. Daeth y proffwydi oedd ym Methel at Eliseis a dweud wrtho. A wyddos ti fod yr arglwydd am gymryd y feistir oddi arnat heddiw. Gwn yn iawn, meddai yntai, tewch a sôn. A dywedodd Eleias wrtho. Eliseis, aros di yma oherwydd mae'r arglwydd yn fy anfon i Jericho. Dywedodd yntai, cenwired y bod yr arglwydd yn fyw a thithau, nith y dawaf. Felly eithant i Jericho. Daeth y proffwydi oedd yn Jericho at Eliseis a dweud wrtho. A wyddos ti fod yr arglwydd yn gymryd y feistir oddi arnat heddiw? Gwn yn iawn, meddai yntai, tewch a sôn. Dywedodd Eleias wrtho, aros di yma oherwydd mae'r arglwydd yn fan fo'n atrio'r ddonen. Dywedodd yntai cenwired y bod yr arglwydd yn fyw a thithau yn nith y dawaf. Felly eithant i'll dau. Ac yr oedd hanner cant o broffwydi wedi dod ac aros gyferbyn a hwy o hirbell, troedd e'n trwy illdau yn sefyll ar lan yr urlonen. Cymerodd Eleias ei fantell a'i rholio a tharo'r dŵr. Ymrannodd y dŵr i'r ddeiti a chroesant y ddau ar dir sych. Wedi ddynt groesi, dywedodd Eleias wrth Eliseis, gofyn, beth ofnaf i ti cyn fy nghymryd oddi wrthyt? A tebodd Eliseis, rhoddair i mi ddeiparth o ysbryd, a dywedodd Eleias, gwneithos gais anodd. Os gweli fi yn cael fy nghymryd oddi wrthyd, fe gei hyn. Ond os na weli, ni chei. Ac fel yr oeddent yn mynd, dan siarad, dyma gerbyd tanllid a meirch tanllid yn ei gwahanu illdau, ac Eleias yn esgu mewn corwynt i'r nef. Ac yr oedd Eliseis yn syllu ac yn gweiddi, fynhad, fynhad, cerbyd y marchogion Israel. Ni welodd ef wedyn, a chydiodd yn ei wisg a'i rhwygon ddau. Dyma air yr arglwydd.
The New Testament reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 3. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. But we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I will trust.
I will trust in you.
And I will trust.
I will trust. I will trust in you.
For your
endless mercy follows me. Your goodness can lead me home.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Today, as we said at the beginning, is St. Valentine's Day. As is the case with many saints' days, we don't know much in the way of detailed fact about St. Valentine, and there is some of the history associated with him that's almost certainly legend. But we know enough to say that he lived in Rome about the 3rd century AD, and that he was put to death there in one of the persecutions of Christians that flared up regularly in that period. To be a Christian in Rome was at best uncomfortable and at worst dangerous for the first 300 or 400 years of the Christian era. Without much doubt, some of this was simply the persecution of difference, the persecution of a minority who did not go along with the ways of the majority. But some of it had a political emphasis too. The Roman Empire depended on obedience to the emperor, and at quite an early date, Roman emperors, living and dead, were given divine status, treated as gods. To refuse to take part in emperor worship was seen as dangerous to the state. This may seem very remote and archaic from us, but it was the state of play in our own country just a few hundred years ago, just as was the case with Christians in Rome. To be a Roman Catholic at the end of the reign of Elizabeth I, or a Protestant in the reign of her sister Mary, was uncomfortable for private citizens and dangerous for public figures. Even in modern times, persecution of Christians and other minorities usually has at least some tinge of political emphasis. The most brutal example of state persecution at present appears to be the persecution of the Uyghur Muslim minority by the Chinese state. Christians are persecuted in China too, as people who believe in a creed different from communism, but not with the organised cruelty which has been inflicted on the Uyghurs. Christians are still persecuted, as Valentine was, in other parts of the world. It is mainly in Muslim-majority countries. Sometimes the state persecutes Christians directly, but more often it passes legislation which discriminates against them indirectly or turns a blind eye to persecution by the majority community. Persecution by one Christian group of another, as in Elizabeth and Mary's time, is mercifully very rare in the Christian world today. But it is certainly still happening in the Islamic world, that one group of Muslims may persecute another because of difference of belief. And of course, Muslims in India particularly feel that they are in danger of persecution from the resurgence of Hindu nationalism under Prime Minister Narendra Modi. So as we contemplate a Christian martyr like St. Valentine, it's easy to imagine that the persecution of Christians is a unique phenomenon. But Christians are, in fact, just one example of people who are persecuted in the world today. Most religions also celebrate martyrdom, the example of believers whose adherence to their faith has been so strong and so courageous that they are willing to die rather than give it up. We know, of course, that the suicide bombers think of themselves as Islamic martyrs who will be rewarded for their sacrifice. We can still think of martyrdom as admirable in a secular cause. Nelson Mandela, in his great opening speech when he was on trial for his life, explained to the court that he had spent his life in the struggle for equality between blacks and whites in South Africa, concluded with the words, "It is an ideal for which I hope to live for and to see realised. But, my Lord, if it needs be, it is an ideal for which I am prepared to die." So we can still admire martyrs, whatever their cause. For the first Christians, however, there was another layer of significance to martyrdom. They believed that they were following their Saviour, who had been cruelly put to death by the Roman authorities in Jerusalem. They called their newborn faith the Way, and they all knew that it might be the way of the cross. We have perhaps lost the sense of how directly and how immediately this was true for them. There was a real and immediate continuity for them between the death of Jesus and the death of the first Christian martyrs. From the time of the crucifixion, from the first stoning of Stephen, from Herod's execution of James, the brother of John, through to the deaths of Peter, Paul, and Andrew under the Emperor Nero, was just a period of 30 short years. Thereafter, there never was a time in those first four centuries when Christians were not persecuted in the empire. It is one of the great miracles of the faith that it grew and grew and became stronger and stronger in that time. Christianity was not first spread or promoted by the political power of the state or by violence or force of arms. Exactly the opposite was true. It grew in strength as political power and violence was exercised against it. And so we pray for all who are persecuted, whatever their creed, whatever their circumstances. But we pray especially for our brother and sister Christians. In their courage in the face of persecution, they stand in a long and proud tradition. St. Paul wrote from prison to the church in Colossae, "I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church." It is an extraordinary idea. It tells you again how immediate the memory of the crucifixion was for the early Christians. When they called the church the body of Christ, it was not only an idea or a metaphor. The real body of Jesus on the cross, with his bloodied head and pierced side, was a living memory to them. Like St. Paul in Colossae, our brothers and sisters who are persecuted across the world fill up the suffering of the body of Christ on behalf of all of us who belong to that body. And so our prayers are especially with them on this St. Valentine's Day. Amen. It's time for our prayers. we begin with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Entad der Herrnoitin an Avoith, Sancte Lieder Edu, Delede der Nas Gunella der Wachlis, Megisen an Eve, Wachli Arazayar Hevid, Dadoni Hezio in Parabenodiol, a mother in the end Deledion, and a mother in the end Deledwir. Aknak Arani, Brovedigaith, Ether Gwared Ni Rag Drug, Canis Ethoti Ur der Nas, Argathli Argogoniant, and Oisoisoid. Amen.
Let us pray. First, a general thanksgiving. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, thine unworthy servants, do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all people. We bless thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for thine inestimable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we show forth thy praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to thy service, and by walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. We pray for your church throughout the whole world, and especially here in St. David's Diocese, where falling congregations are of great concern. We pray that you will invigorate our churches so that once again our churches will thrive and grow. We also pray for your church in those parts of the world where there is persecution of Christians. Lord, we pray that you will sustain all those Christians who are being persecuted and encourage your worldwide Christian family to support their brothers and sisters in their suffering. We also earnestly pray that you will help all peoples in our world to live together in peace and harmony to our mutual benefit. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. We continue to pray for all the victims of the COVID pandemic in all countries of the world. We pray especially for our own country, which is still experiencing high numbers of deaths. We pray for all our essential workers, the NHS staff who look after us when we are ill, and also the police who maintain our society and stop it descending into anarchy. We pray for our teachers who educate our children, our council workers who ensure society functions, and also we especially pray for the army, who, without hesitation, step up to not only organise distribution of the vaccines, but in many cases administer it as well. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we pray for all the leaders of the nations of the world and pray that they may govern in a just and righteous way. We pray that they will work together to achieve a peaceful and a carbon-neutral future world, so that your people will thrive and flourish on this perfect planet. We pray for our own Sovereign Lady, our own government in London and Cardiff, and our own Ceredigion Council. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we commend to your care all those who are suffering either a bodily illness, or infirmity, or a mental illness, We pray that you will comfort and be with them in their distress, and will grant them a happy end to their suffering. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for all your people who have died, and especially those known to us. We pray for those left behind who grieve and struggle to cope with their loss. Help them, Lord, in their grief. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, we bless thy holy name for the grace and virtue declared in all thy saints. Grant that we, rejoicing in their fellowship and following their good examples, may at thy Son's appearing be set with them on his right hand and be made partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Hear us, O heavenly Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate, to whom with thee and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen.
Perfectly restored.
Now to him who is able to keep you from falling, and to make you stand without blemish in the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only wise God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, before all time, and now, and for ever. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, now and always. Amen. I hadn't really thought before last week of running through the Flanders and Swans songbook. I don't know how many of them we'll be able to do, but today the most famous of them all, the Hippopotamus Song.
A bold hippopotamus was standing one day on the banks of the cool Shalimar. He gazed at the bottom as it peacefully lay by the light of the evening star. Away on a hilltop sat combing her hair his fair hippopotamus mate. The hippopotamus was no ignoramus and sang her this sweet serenade.
Mud, mud, glorious mud, nothing quite like it for cooling the blood. So follow me, follow, down to the hollow, and there let us wallow in glorious mud.
The fair hippopotamus had twin ties from her seat on that hilltop above. As she had the gotamar to give her advice, went tiptoeing down to her love. Like thunder the forest re-echoed the sound of the song that they sang as they met. His inamorata adjusted her garter and lifted her voice in duet.
Mud, mud, glorious mud, nothing quite like it for cooling the blood. So follow me, follow, down to the hollow, and there let us wallow in glorious mud. Then more hippopotami began to convene on the banks of that river so wide. I wonder now what am I to say of the scene that ensued by the Shalimar side. They dived from the banks with an ear-splitting splosh, then rose to the surface again. A regular army of hippopotami, all singing this haunting refrain. Mud, mud, glorious mud, nothing quite like it for cooling the blood. So follow me, follow, down to the hollow, and there let us wallow in glorious mud.